Okay. Yeah. Because you cannot participate in the creative part, you have the pleasure to listen to me. Jetzt Chaos macht Schule, so Chaos does school. I derived this talk from a Chaos does school talk, but it's an extract from that. It's a talk we offer to Berlin schools. What's Chaos Does School or Chaos Macht Schule? Chaos Does School is an initiative that's active all over Germany. It's not all members of the CCC, but it's close to the CCC. And they do in their free time, they offer to give talks to children that are usually not treated enough in school. Usually we have a slide, what's the CCC? But I think everybody here knows what that is. And I'll talk here mostly as a Chaos Does School activist in Berlin. Yeah. What we do is we offer schools to visit them. It's usually two lessons, so 2 hour lessons. And we have two talks that are requested very often. It's one is at what the internet, where we elementary, it's mostly addressed at elementary school children, and the other is Tracks in the Net, which is more for children from the eighth form or the last few years. These can be done quite deep. The idea of the talk is to give you a few ideas or impulses how you can that you can use to tell how you can leave tracks in the network when you use it in everyday use that you do not want to leave behind. I start with photos, so this is a part I usually do interactively with the pupils, where I ask them to try to extract information from that picture. But what can you learn from this photo about the person who made the photo? And let them look where the photo, what can you see? So it's a roof, so it's a huge and empty room, so it's somebody who probably doesn't have a small flat. And then can just look at the picture and derive things from the picture. But that's not the most interesting part in this thing, in this context. The more interesting is what other information are in this image. And this gets us to the so-called metadata. It's a descriptive data that every picture that comes from a digital camera or a telephone contains, and they are stored with the image on the telephone, and people usually do not see that. The point is those data are attached to the photo, the actual file. So if you send the photo by mail or in chat, all these information are distributed too. And here I want to show you a little tool where I uploaded the photo we have seen in the presentation. It's a tool, it's nothing really, really special, no telephone, no hacker tool, any telephone, any image management program can extract and show this metadata from any photo. And here you get an impression what there all in there is about the person who made the photo, and especially about the device. he used to receive the Huawei device. You see the exposure. We see when the photo was made. We see where the photo was made. And because in the moment the photo was made, the location function of the phone was active. And so the viewer of the photo does know where the photo was made, and with a precision that's enough to actually locate the house or the flat. Here you see all the information that's in a photo. It's quite a lot. It's a very long list. It contains the speed, direction of view, and it allows quite a lot of conclusions where one should be aware of before you share a photo in any medium, and probably tell the recipients of the photo things you don't want to tell them. Another thing, what you can interesting is you can conclude from the descriptive information, and you can see in which direction the camera was facing. So yeah, you know what direction the image is. A simple way to avoid that is to at least the location information away is to make sure that whenever you make a photo on a telephone, that the or any digital camera, but those are used less and less. So the important thing is to make sure that the location information is switched off, or to use tools that remove all those information. But so for example, the Messenger Signal does. If you send a picture via Messenger, Signal removes all those metadata. So to protect the data of the photographer. Now, I want to stay for a moment with the topic of metadata. So, no, I want to stay with the topic of pictures. So I want to stay with the topic of pictures. There's another aspect to come back to the actual content of the photo that are, it's even with the possibilities of telephone office, you can do quite a lot of evaluating of those photos. Maybe you know it if you take a photo and the newer telephones or produce these boxes you can see in this example here, and that usually says that the telephone knows where on the phone there are faces. So a telephone can quite directly in real time analyze the motive in the digital viewfinder. Can it detect faces? What for such a camera is quite an achievement, because for such a computer, a picture is nothing but a bunch of pixels with different colors. The concept of a face or human or hair or teeth is nothing that a computer knows about. It's easy for us to recognize for a computer, that is not that easy. But we are come so far that, sorry, wrong tab. We see here I show you how simple such a picture analysis is today. I just so show you some examples. The tool that Amazon offers, not because I want to emphasize Amazon, it's just because Amazon makes it quite easy to do picture, to test picture analysis for free. Here's a picture of a class that I found in the net, and I uploaded it, and what you can see here is that the algorithm is quite exact to recognize every single face in all this, in this mass of faces that can see from all the boxes you can see here, and then gives me the possibility to click every face in that picture, and then I get a detailed information about the algorithm thing. So for 99% of things, it's a face. It's quite sure that it's a female face, and thinks it's between 18 and 30 years. It's not quite sure about if it's laughing or not, and or that it's not wearing a glass. This is quite reliable. Here on the left, you see many other possibilities. What this solution from Amazon offers. There's a funny possibility you to look for celebrities in pictures. This is of course about celebrities and press, members of the press targeted. It's a nice feature for journalists or something, but nothing, there's not much behind this but a list of faces and names and the possibility to quite accurately recognize them. Here can you see, here Johnny Depp, random person. I can load a random image and it works quite well. This is just a special case. There could be a database with non-prominent people off behind this. The thing is, it's quite reliably can detect if somebody's in the image. And that does also work with several persons in the image. Yeah, the delay is mostly because the image must be uploaded from my computer, not the actual analysis. So it's not actually there on the machine where the algorithm is running. You can have things like object and scene recognition. It's quite interesting. Here's a photo. You can see the algorithm can detect cars. There's a human. There's a person. There's a person, and it's probably also a human. And so you can analyze the images by many criteria, and it's quite easy. It's a bit scary about the thing is that this can be done with several thousand pictures in a second. There are customers of Amazon that use this solution to do real-time analysis of pictures of surveillance cameras or pub cameras that are installed in the public space to send them there. And this solution, like the solutions from Microsoft or IBM or Facebook, all large providers have solutions of this kind. So you can process many images in parallel in very short time. And yeah, that's we have to think about this. So if we look at a picture and recognize what's on it, but in that quantity at 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there are suddenly many new possibilities. Something what I just want to sketch a bit. The same thing works with videos. So if you upload a film here and the algorithm recognize people, like the same thing we did with the pictures, the same things that I said work with pictures work quite as well with videos. And you have the timestamps when the video who appears. No, there's no difference if you have moving pictures or you have static photos. These kind of solutions work with both things quite as well. It's a bit weird to do this talk without any interaction with the audience, but I haven't done that before. So maybe, yeah, usually people are sitting in front of me who look interested, so it's sometimes a bit weird. So I'm not quite sure what to do. One thing I haven't shown is a variant that you can the space, the scenery. So kind of the system can say this is in an interior room, a library, and then there are books. So a short jump. They have looked at the topic of pictures and what you can do, what information you can get out of an image. And if you're working with pictures and images and you should ask a few more questions and ask yourself if they do not want to share those information in some situations. But now we do a jump. It's again the topic of metadata, and as an example is WhatsApp. WhatsApp is quite a lot of criticism of WhatsApp for data protection. And WhatsApp also has an online function that scientists have looked at closer. And this function that looks quite attractive to users that allows you to see of your contacts in your telephone book if they are available for a chat or now or not, can or could at least, I don't know, maybe it works still. Could be queried automatically, and actually that scientists have done. Scientists have done with a group of about 1,000 students have tracked the online status continuously for quite some time. So those 1,000 telephone numbers were continuously every few minutes queried, and the data were aggregated and then would be analyzed. This was all anonymized, and here you can see the online activity by day of the week. So you can see that the person behind this number obviously was constantly active until Thursday, then on Friday and Saturday less active, and then on Sunday we're starting again to use WhatsApp. Here you see it's the same person, another view. This is by the 24 hours of the day, so from midnight to midnight. And you see here that, yeah, here it gets really interesting because you can find surprisingly many profiles where you ask, when do these people sleep? What do they do over the day? You obviously see the activity does only go down between 1 and 2 o'clock. Then there's a period of rest. Of course, there are some measurement errors. The online status is not always correlated with the eyes being open or closed, but there are some correlations between online activity and that status. And so you can really ask, though this window of rest is quite short, and then it starts again in the morning quite early. And you think, is this a person who's sitting in a lecture, or is it somebody who's just working, or a teacher who's just teaching math, or some other topic, and still has still a constantly high online status over the day, and then does that, and then in the evening it starts to get even more active. It's quite interesting over the day, and you can click into the study and look at many people. Of course, there are some who use it less. Here's somebody who is at la rest at night. Here again, the day is quite active. You don't know what's happening in parallel there. You can only ask yourself, what is it? And that's the interesting part about this. I think this information is collected and stored, not only in a connection in the context of this study. And I think that these information can be quite interested by other parties who collect it and store it. And maybe this person will be sitting in a job interview, and then somebody will get a bad attention scoring and nobody knows why. And the reason could be such kind of studies which sound harmless today, but it can be quite difficult, like in the context of a job interview, because you cannot be sure, it can be sure that you will not be directly see this study, but you will just come aggregate a store, and you really do not know why this where this bad score comes from, and you cannot do anything about this. How can do anything to change this bad evaluation, because you do not know where this data come from and who actually collected and stored here these information. These are all good questions to think if you really want to use this big centralistic American companies, if you want to give them your data or not. Because it's today is now is one thing, but what might happen with this data in the future is a different thing. Okay.